Well, praise God, we are destined to win. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast, and I'm glad you could join us this week. I trust you have been listening to the Netcast consistently. We've got kind of a continuing series going. We started with the last Netcast on a very interesting topic. I've had several good comments about this topic, about moeds. Moeds are appointed or set times, times that are determined by the plan of God. And we've got into some of that concerning moeds from the Hebrew, from the Old Testament. And now this week we're going to look more at the New Testament. Now obviously the Hebrew word moed is not used in the New Testament, but we found that there is a word in Greek in the New Testament that is almost the identical definition of the Hebrew word moed. Now, obviously, as I mentioned, it's not the same word. I want to make that clear. But the meaning is the same, and it's used in the same way. So I think this is a principle that we can take from the Word of God and see that God has certain times and seasons that He has determined that will come to pass, because He knows the past, He knows the future, He knows the present, He is all-knowing. Amen? So He knows these things, but He's also determined certain things should happen at certain times, and those are covered by this term in the Hebrew, moed. It's also the Greek word kairos. Remember we talked about this briefly last week. Kairos is the Greek word, and it's used for this appointed or set time. Now let's look at Matthew 16, verse 3. That's what I'm trying to get to. We're going to go to Matthew 8:29 in just a minute. But first I want to go to Matthew 16, verse 3. I had to look at my notes to check that out. At any rate, Matthew 16, verse 3. Jesus is talking to the scribes and Pharisees here. Matter of fact, let's just back up in verse 1 and put it in context. I always like to do that anyway. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting desired him that he should show them a sign from heaven. Now, I like what I heard Charles Capp say one time about knowing the difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These were two sects, that's S-E-C-T-S, sects of the Hebrew tradition, and these were teachers and doctors of the law, but they were divided by their belief systems. And so Charles Capps made the statement one time that the Pharisees at least believed in the human spirit living forever. In other words, they believed that after you die, you go to heaven or go to hell. There was an eternal destiny for your human spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. You live in a physical body. So they understood that. So as Charles Capps says, they were fair, you see. Get it? All right, the Sadducees did not believe in an eternal existence after death. They thought when you were dead, you were dead. So they were sad, you see. Okay, it's a little funny and silly, but it's a good way to remember the difference between the two different factions. They were fair because they believed in, in terms of fair in terms of their understanding, not fair in terms of their fairness, but in terms of they were fair to middling in their belief system because they at least believed in an eternal soul. Whereas the Sadducees were sad. They didn't believe in any eternal existence. Okay? So that just is, when I see that, I always remember that from Charles Capps. So I just needed to mention it. The Pharisees also and the Sadducees came. And when the two got together, there always was going to be a fight. It was just, that's just the way it is. You know, you get a bunch of religious people. Now, for those of you that don't understand, I am not religious. Okay? Don't have a religious bone in my body. You say, but Dr. Bill, you got a doctorate in theology. You preach the gospel. Yes, but I'm not religious. See, religion is man's attempt to reach God. Jesus coming and Christianity is God reaching out to man. That's not religion. That's relationship. Okay, so there's a big difference there. So I don't call myself religious. Okay, I'm a believer. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe that God sent him to the earth, believe that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. I believe that Jesus died physically, actually. It wasn't some kind of weird spiritual, you know, death in some spiritual sense. No, he died physically and was raised bodily, physically from the dead. And believing that is part of what you need to believe to be born again. Do you know that? You go to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. Verse 8 says, "What saith it? The word is nigh thee," that means it's near to you, "even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." Now that's where we get the term for this ministry, Word of Faith Ministries. The word of faith which we preach. And here's what the word of faith is. That, verse 9, that if thou wilt confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord, that means give him complete lordship over your life, and second, believe that God has raised him from the dead, that's physically, bodily, resurrected from the dead, then thou shalt be saved, and that's the Greek word sozo, saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, and delivered from all temporal evil. It's an all-encompassing word. There's a lot to this term salvation. It's not just getting your ticket punched and being ready to go to heaven, although that's wonderful. That's why the Pharisees were fair, you see, because they at least believed that there was an eternal place of heaven or hell, and there is, but that's not all. There's a whole lot more, okay? And in past netcasts and past teachings, we've gotten into a lot of stuff, and we'll get into a lot more again in the future. But for right now, we're focusing. I'm going to focus on what we're talking about. And what we're talking about is these moeds. So let's keep reading. They tempted him and desired him he would show them a sign from heaven. Verse 2 of Matthew 16, he answered and said unto them, "When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" Now the word "signs of the times" here, the phrase that he's using here, uses this word that we were talking about in the Greek, which is kairos. The unique, appointed, determined times. Can you not determine that? Well, how are you going to determine that, Jesus? Because those times are signs that indicate the plan of God. They indicate what God has in mind. Now, what we want to do today, and I don't know, in terms of the time we have, I don't know how much we'll be able to get into, okay? Because we may have to continue this, I guess is what I'm saying. But we'll do the best we can. Let's look at some things. Let's go, I mentioned Matthew 8, verse 29. Let's go ahead and go there. Matthew 8, and start in verse 29. Jesus is using this word again, and it says, "And behold, they cried out, saying," talking about the demons here. Again, let's read it in context. Let me back up. Verse 28, "And when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gerasenes, they met him, two people possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" The time that they're talking about here, that these demons mention, is an appointed time. That's this word that we're talking about here. That's an appointed, specific time that God had set aside. In this case, a time when demons will be punished. They'll be judged and cast into hell. An interesting point here. Hell was designed and created by God, but not for mankind. I want you to remember that, understand that. God did not design hell for men. He designed hell for Satan and his demon spirit forces, the third of heaven that fell with Satan when he fell. So, why do we even talk about people going to hell. If it's designed for Satan and his angels, then why talk about people going to hell? Well, because people are connected spiritually to their Lord. Now, whether you like it or not, Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees, ye, scribes and Pharisees, are of your father, the devil. Now, without going into a whole lot of detail, let me just give you the Cliff Notes version of this. The bottom line is, when Adam committed high treason, he sold out mankind. Now, mankind didn't even exist yet other than in himself, in Adam. But through his lineage, every man born after Adam had a curse of sin upon their lives because of what Adam did, because Adam committed high treason and sold out to God. I mean, to the devil, I'm sorry. To the devil and left God. That's what I meant to say. Now, here's the thing about that. Since that was passed down, all men since then born in the earth are connected to the individual that Adam sold out to, which is the devil. So Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees who were not born again, they were not followers of his, they were, did not do what Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10 says that we just talked about a little while ago. And Jesus hadn't even gone to the cross yet, so they couldn't have been born again. See what I'm saying? So they couldn't believe he'd been raised from the dead. He hadn't gone yet. They couldn't believe he was Lord. He hadn't taken that position of lordship over the entire universe. He had laid aside all of his rights and privileges as the Son of God and come to the earth as a physical man. So, bottom line is, they couldn't have been believers. They were still in their sin that had come through Adam. And because of that, they were connected to their spiritual father, the devil. Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil. Now, that spiritual connection, think of it as like a cord. That cord attaches them to the devil, spiritually speaking. If you could actually see into the spirit realm, you could even see that connection. I'm not saying there's a physical cable, but there is a spiritual connection. Let's put it that way. All right, so then when Satan and his demon forces are thrown into the lake of fire, into hell, that cord will pull people that are still connected to the devil into hell. That is not God's intention that they end up in hell. It's not his desire. He's not up there going, ooh, this is great. They're going to hell. No. He wouldn't even have sent Jesus if his desire was for all mankind to end up in hell. No, he wants everyone. The Bible is very clear. The Bible says, it is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, you say, well, then, of course, Dr. Bill, it's going to happen immediately and instantly. We don't even have to worry about it. If it's God's will, it's going to come to pass. No. Man has a will of his own. And you got to get your will lined up with God's will in order for salvation to be available in your life. You've got to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord personally and believe that God has raised him from the dead personally in order to get the full benefit of what God's provided. So it's God's will that all men do that, but all men haven't done that. All right, so here's the important thing about this. You have to make a personal decision not to follow after Satan, but rather to follow after God. That's an individual personal decision that you have to make. If you don't, then at the time appointed at the Moed, you will be subject to the same punishment as the demon spirits that fell when Satan fell. You don't want that. Okay, trust me. All right, let's look at a few other signs here. We're running short on time. People can discern the signs of the times. We talked about that. Let's look at Luke 12, 56 and just kind of put a cap on that. Luke chapter 12 and verse 56 says, ye hypocrites, this is basically a retelling, a restatement of that same incident with the scribes and Pharisees. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? The word time there is the same Greek word that we're talking about that's similar to moed, an appointed time. Verse 57 says, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Jesus is saying, you've got the information you need. You've got it before you. Now, let's look at Mark 13:33. This is a little different direction. Mark 13, and we'll look at verse, where shall we start? Let's start in verse 28. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. He's talking about the last days here. It says, learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. In other words, again, signs. Things that indicate something. If you see a tree budding, then you know that the time of figs is near. Okay? That's a sign that a time, an appointed time of harvest is coming. All right, let's keep reading. Verily I say unto you, or verse 29, so ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But in that day and that hour knoweth no man. Now, folks, let me tell you, the people that are preaching and teaching that they know the exact day that Jesus is going to come back, that's, Jesus made it clear. No man knows the day or the hour. I don't know the day or the hour. Pastor so-and-so doesn't know the day or the hour. Reverend so-and-so doesn't know the day or the hour. The Bible makes it clear. No man is no man. No man knows the day or the hour that Jesus is going to come back. But of that day, well, let me keep reading. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son. Jesus said he didn't even know. But the Father, take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Now this word time is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word moed. In other words, there is a moed. There is a unique appointed time that Jesus will come back. It's unique. It is appointed. It is determined. On God's calendar, he circled it in red. Okay? I'm being a little facetious, but you understand what I'm saying. God knows that day and that hour. Jesus doesn't. The Son doesn't. The angels don't. And certainly no man knows it. So don't follow after all these people and say, oh, we know the time. We know the hour. No, they don't. Now, here's the thing. He said that when you see certain things happening, you know it's near. Well, we're seeing some things happen. Oh, my goodness. Look at what's going on in the news. In the Middle East, fulfillment of prophecy is occurring right before our eyes. So the time is near. There's no question about that. When you see things beginning to bud, you know the time is near. So, of course, we ought to pay attention to that. We ought to realize that the time is short, but we certainly don't know the day and the hour. Okay? Now, let's look at Luke 1:20. Luke chapter 1. Verse 20, we're just looking at some of the scriptures that talk about this word that is the Greek equivalent of the word moed. Luke 1 is an account of the angel coming to Mary and telling her that Jesus would be born to her. Let's look in verse 19. The angel answering unto him said, this is to Zacharias talking about John the Baptist's birth in this case, the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, get my tongue untied. I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, Zacharias, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their appointed time. Now, the King James word here is season, is the way it is translated from this word, which is the Greek word that is similar to moed. Okay? The Greek word that is kairos is translated here in the King James season. There it was a unique appointed time. Now, I trust that you're finding this study interesting with these unique appointed times. But the key thing I wanted to bring out today is that there's an appointed time that Jesus is going to come back. We don't know what that is, but we need to be ready. We need to be paying attention. Like he told the scribes and Pharisees, look, you see the sky is red, and that means something to you in terms of the weather. We ought to at least see the things that are happening around us in the news, happening around us in the spiritual realm, and know that the time is close. So we ought to be operating in this world, in this time, in this unique set of circumstances, and be ready for Jesus coming. So that's a time to get spiritually sensitive. That's why I really believe at the beginning of this year of 2011, God just really dealt with me that this was a time, 2011 is a time to draw closer to heaven. This is the way he put it to me. Just, sometimes he'll do things like that to just kind of key in my memory. And in this case, 2011, a time to draw closer to heaven. Now, as I've said before, that's not, wow, we're gonna be leaving here immediately, this year, or somebody's going to die and go to heaven. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about heaven has an agenda. Heaven has a plan. There are moeds, and this is a unique time. And this unique time, we need to draw closer to heaven. That's why I'm bringing some of these things out, is so that you'll see that you need to draw closer to spiritual things. You need to draw closer to God's agenda and to heaven. Amen? It's easy to get caught up in stuff. It's easy to get caught up in natural things. Happens all the time. Sports, family stuff. And nothing wrong with sports. Nothing wrong with family stuff. Don't get me wrong. But we need to draw closer to God's plan and his agenda. We need to draw closer to heaven in that sense. Amen? Well, man, the time just flies by when we get into these things. We're going to continue with this next week. We're going to keep going until we get through these scriptures. Praise the Lord. But I trust you're seeing some things about moeds, about unique set appointed times. We'll talk more about that. I do want to encourage you, take advantage of some of the things on the website, wofm.org. We've just kind of changed up some things and added a few interesting little features to the site. If you click on the Teaching Messages by Dr. Bill link now. It's a different page, and it's presented a little different way. And you can listen online, or you can download the teachings directly from that page. And so I'd encourage you to do that. We've kind of fleshed it out a little bit more and added some teaching in there that from the past years. We go back all the way to, I think, 1980 on until the present time. And I actually listened to one of those messages recently, Jesus Christ, Liar or Lord. And I was like, wow, that's a powerful message. Now you say, well, Dr. Bill, you taught it. Yeah, I know. But man, there's some good stuff in there. So I'd encourage you to go listen to that. Take advantage of these features we have on the website. I think it'll be a blessing for you. But write us at our email address and our physical address, our mailing address. Our mailing address is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213 5213, High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. You can also write me at my email address. Of course, the email address is Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. Join us next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.